There's an old song in Sunday school we used to sing. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The wealth in every mind. Does anyone remember that song? Okay, there's about half a dozen people. The rest of you are looking at me going, he's weird. Well, maybe I am kind of weird. But that song kind of says it to me. God owns it. And he gives it to us to be good stewards of everything that we have. But I don't own it. I don't even own my kids. I don't even own my wife or my grandkids. They are God's. I give them to God. They are his. They're not mine. And we are called to be good stewards of all that. So what am I given? Grace and mercy. I don't deserve salvation, but he gives me salvation. If I ask for it, if I believe in the Savior who will save, I am given salvation. He gives us life and love. His love is unconditional. Ours oftentimes is conditional. God loves me in spite of myself, and I'm grateful for that. He gives us comfort. He gives us encouragement. He gives us hope. I am adopted. I am accepted. I am redeemed. Amen. He gives me a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to guide me when I am so stinking confused. He gives me armor against the evil one, in the book of Ephesians. All these things and so many things more that God gives us, not we aren't entitled to any of it, but God freely gives that to you and me. And I want us to understand that this morning, because I think what it helps us to understand is the necessity to be thankful more and for more things than what we are thankful for. Because if all this is true, if I'm not entitled as God's creation, and he's given me all these things, if all that is true, then thankfulness should really be always present. Let me look at Psalm 103 for a minute here this morning. I could read a lot more of that psalm than we did this morning, those first four verses, but look at those first four verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Here's what he says in the second verse, which tells me that we aren't entitled, but he freely gives. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's a lot of benefits to being a child of God. Sometimes we look at only one benefit, fire insurance. Don't we? Sometimes we look at it and say, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. So I'm going to, Jesus, save my soul, give me eternal life, but I just don't want to go to hell, so I give my life to you. I mean, we don't understand what that really means. If that's all it means for us is that I escape hell. But he says, forget not all the benefits we have as Christians. You know, we are richer than anyone else in the world. All those millionaires and billionaires in Hollywood and elsewhere, we are richer than everyone else in the world as believers in Jesus Christ. Forget not all his benefits. And then he goes on in the next few verses and lists some of those. He forgives all my sins. Now think about it, folks. A holy God who cannot stand the presence of sin. He had to take care of it somehow. You see, we couldn't take care of it ourselves because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all broken and we're all messed up. And God says, I've got a solution for sin. And that is my son, the perfect son of God, will take all your sin upon himself and pay for it so that you can stand before God being completely taken care of, redeemed, atoned for. Because of what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. Don't forget. And that's something you and I each and every day and sometimes multiple times a day can say, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. All my sins, not most of them. Some of you say, I've been too bad. I don't know how many times I've had people come into my office over the 30 years of ministry that said, God can't save me. I said, oh, yes, he can. Well, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Look at the thief on the cross. Was he saved because of his performance? Heck no. He didn't have a chance to do that, did he? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. What about Paul, who was a persecutor, and he wanted the Christians annihilated, and yet God took him on the Damascus Road and says, hey, I want you for me. Or even me in Scripture. Actually, it was King David, not me. But King David, I mean, he was an adulterer and a murderer because he had someone murdered. So by definition, he was a murderer. Bathsheba's husband. He said, go make put him out in the front lines, make sure he's dead. And later, he's called a man after my own heart. Think about it, folks. Forgiveness ought to make us thankful many times a day because God has forgiven you and me. We maybe didn't do all those things that I talked about just now, but we are sinners and we need a Savior. He heals all my diseases. It may be that I still have to live with some of that in this life, but I'll tell you what, there's one day when all these things are gone. There's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more disease, no more nothing. He redeems my life from the pit. He satisfies my desires with good things. Let me move to verse 8 and talk a little bit about the Lord and what he is in relationship to us and why we ought to be continuously thankful to him. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Boy, I wish I could be more like that. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And he continues on after that. If this is all true, everything that I've been given, if he forgives like he forgives, it means that we need forgiven. Don't forget that. So let me do this then, moving from Psalm to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, these three short little verses. I remember when I was in Vacation Bible School as a kid, these were verses that I wanted to memorize because they were short. You get the same amount of points for a short verse, just like Jesus wept. That one would always count for 50 points, so you got that one down. And there's some short ones here too, but these are short verses that are just punched with some really great stuff when you think about it. Be joyful always. There was a preacher many years ago, I don't even remember his name now, a black preacher that did a Friday service, Good Friday service, and he was quoted as saying, Friday's here, but Sunday's a-coming. You think about that. Friday's here, but Sunday's a-coming. If you were Jesus on Friday, how do you feel? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Sometimes you and I in life, we're in a Friday. Good Friday, ironically, doesn't feel so good. Be joyful always is a reminder for us that we always have hope, that no matter what's going on in your life, you can be thankful that God is there, that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And so it does mean that ultimately, joy is not dependent on circumstances. Be joyful always. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Here's another one. Pray continually. The next verse. I got two verses there, didn't I? Pray continually. Now, prayer is not just prayer before a meal. Maybe prayer beside your bed, if you don't kneel on your bed, in your bed, or praying in the morning or whatever, and your eyes are closed and you're praying to God. Prayer is conversation as you're going down the road, because I encourage you not to close your eyes when you're going down the road, or you'll be meeting your Lord a little sooner than you intended to if you do it that way. But prayer is just basically, it's communion with God. It's talking to Him, and we can do that at all times, all the time. We can talk to God. We can complain to God. You know what? We've got a God who is, He's a big God. He's a great daddy. And sometimes you and I have problems with what's going on right now. And so we talk to Him about that. And He's big enough to take that, folks. Because you know what He ends up doing when you complain to Him about what's going on in life? If you'll allow Him to do it, He'll take that attitude and He'll transform that into something different. It's all right. Some say, well, you know, I can't do that because God's going to slam me over the head with something. No, that's not the God we have. What do we read about Him in the Psalms? Slow to anger, very compassionate. So pray continually. Be in conversation with God. Listen to Him. Sometimes it's good to just keep quiet. Now, I'm not saying to you this morning by just keeping quiet that all of a sudden you're going to hear God's physical voice in your ear saying something. I wish He'd do that sometimes, though, really. Say, God, I need an answer. Hey, Dave, I'll tell you what, here's what you're supposed to do. I wish He would do that, but a lot of times He doesn't do that, does He? But even in the quietness of prayer, you can sense that God's leading. He's, in a sense, speaking inside your mind and in your heart. He's guiding and directing you, giving you a sense of which way to go. Pray continually. And then the last one, which is the one I want to conclude with, is give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Because sometimes our circumstances might stink. Sometimes they're not pleasant. And I imagine if I was to sit here this morning and talk to each and every one of you, you could have found some occasions in your life, if not even right now, where life isn't going so hot. Things have happened. But what I'm being told here in the Scripture is, not that I necessarily need to give thanks for all circumstances, because sometimes the devil's doing his job too, and he's trying to make a mess. He knows what buttons to push. He knows how you and I are wired, and he likes to push that button and keep pushing that button and say, where's God and all this stuff? You know, that's what he wants to do. But what this verse does tell us is that you and I can give thanks in all circumstances. How can I do that when the circumstances are bad? Well, what I can right off the bat say is this. God is still with me. He promised me several times in His Word He would never leave me and never forsake me. So no matter what it is that's going on in my life, God is still with me. And if God is still with me, I can give thanks that God is still with me. You see, that's giving thanks in all circumstances. Whatever it might be that's going on, still reach out to God and say, thank you, God, that you're, even though it might feel like it. And you know, our salvation is not based on our emotion, it's based on a promise. I can reach up to God and know that He is there. So I give thanks. Perhaps while I'm doing that, I can say, God, I give you thanks that even in this circumstance, somehow, some way beyond this circumstance, that you can be honored and glorified in my life. I pray that you take this circumstance and use it for your glorious purposes. Even though it stinks right now. You see, what are we doing when we do that? We're saying, God, I'm going to give you thanks in every situation that happens in my life. We can do that. With God's help, we can do that. So it's not just Thanksgiving when things are going well. It's not just Thanksgiving when that really cool thing just happened, which comes more naturally. It's Thanksgiving all the time because God has given us grace and mercy, life and love, salvation and comfort and encouragement and hope. We are adopted, we are accepted, we are redeemed, we are armored, we are counseled, all those things. God gave that to us. Because he's a good God, isn't he? Amen? He is a good God. Let's pray. Thank you, God. In all things. Thank you, God, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Thank you, God, that we can come to you, and even before we come to you, you're already reaching out and saying, I want to talk with you. I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you. I want to comfort you. I want to love on you. I want to do all these things because you are my child. God, we are grateful for that. So remind us of that, especially when it's harder to say thank you. Help us to do it anyway, because there is much to be thankful for while we're in situations that are tough. So God, this morning, we just want to give thanks. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Oh God, I pray that this song rings true in every heart this morning. Count our blessings, because there's a bunch of them. That's why we have reason to give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?